wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the supreme planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Beyond the limitation of the material creation, which is compared to the cloud in the sky, there is the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, full of planets called Vaikuntas. Such Vaikuntha planets are also differently known as Purushottama Loka, Achyutya Loka, Trivikrama Loka, Rishikesha Loka, Keshava Loka, Aniruddha Loka, Madhava Loka, Pradyumna Loka, Sankarshan Loka, Shridhar Loka, Vasudeva Loka, Ayodhya Loka, Dwaraka Loka, and many other millions of spiritual lokas wherein the personality of Godhead predominates. All the living entities there are liberated souls with spiritual bodies as good as that of the Lord. There is no material contamination. Everything there is spiritual, and therefore there is nothing objectively lamentable. They are full of transcendental bliss and are without birth, death, old age, and disease. And amongst all the above-mentioned Vaikuntha lokas, there is one supreme loka called Goloka Vrindavan, which is the abode of the Lord Sri Krishna and his specific associates. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to achieve this particular loka, and the great rishis assembled there could foresee this. All of them consulted amongst themselves about the great departure of the great king, and they wanted to see him up to the last moment because they would no more be able to see such a great devotee of the Lord. When a great devotee of the Lord passes away, there is nothing to be lamented because the devotee is destined to enter into the kingdom of God. But the sorry plight is that such a great devotees leave our sight, and therefore there is every reason to be sorry. As the Lord is rarely to be seen by our present eyes, so also are the great devotees. The great rishis therefore correctly decided to remain on the spot till the last moment.
Sarve vayam tavad ihas mahe ta kalevaram yavat aso vihaya lokam param virajaskam vishokam yasyatyayam bhagavata pradana. So, Parikshit Maharaj was destined for the topmost planet because he was a topmost devotee, completely dedicated to Lord Krishna. He didn't have any interest in going to heavenly planets, nor did he have any impersonal tendencies. And because he worshipped Radha Krishna from his childhood, and he imbibed that from his grandfather, Arjuna, Parikshit Maharaj was the son of Abhimanyu, but he never saw Abhimanyu because Abhimanyu died before he was born, posthumous child. But who's his mother? Uttara, yes. So she's a great devotee. She had the good fortune of being trained in dancing by Arjuna when he was acting like a eunuch as a disguise during the time they were in their last year of exile. You know, Duryodhana, in his infinite treachery, not only did he arrange for the Pandavas to be banished, but then he made another condition that during the last year they had to remain incognito. They couldn't even be seen. And if Duryodhana discovered them, anywhere, then they would have to go for another term of 12 years or so. So the Pandavas managed to disguise themselves in the Virata's kingdom. And during that time, Arjuna was teaching dancing because he knew all the arts, was expert. But they trusted him because he was a eunuch. They trusted him with the princesses. Otherwise, that wouldn't be possible for a man to be there. So afterwards, when Virata found out that the dancing instructor, Brihanala, was actually none other than the great hero Arjuna, he said, "Oh, then I'll give you my daughter. Please accept my daughter as your wife. Beautiful daughter." He said, "No, I cannot accept her as my daughter, as my wife, because she's my student. I acted as her father. But she can marry my son." So they arranged. Not proper for a guru to marry his disciple. This is not rasa-basa, because the teacher, he's acting as father, and then to marry afterwards, that is not proper. Anyway, so Parikshit Maharaj, he imbibed all this devotion from his family, and he himself also was continuing. But he was going back to Godhead, and the sages, we heard about those sages. The sages were there. They came from all over the universe to see him, to glorify him, to assist him. We were talking yesterday how so important to have association with devotees to make it through some difficult times. And of course, there's always difficult times in the material world. It's not that you can never think that now everything is very smooth and there'll be no upsetting calamities. No, calamities can come at any moment. Padam, padam, yadvi, padam, latesham. Every step is dangerous here in this material world. Therefore, we should always keep the association of devotees. Sato Vrte, the six items that are favorable. Utsaha nischayat dharyat tatat karma pavartanat sangatyagat sato vrte shadbir bhakti prasidhiti. Six items are favorable for devotional service, and that means to keep association with devotees. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sadhanga, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. So he was very fortunate, because all these great devotees came to be with him at the last stage of his life. And they came for their benefit and his benefit, and the whole world's benefit, because by such attendance, they testified that it was a testimony that Parikshit was a great devotee. Bhagavat Pradhana, the greatest Pradhana means chief. He was a chief amongst the devotees. So devotees are not envious. No devotee is envious of another devotee. He wants to see the Vaishnavas glorified. In fact, he prefers to glorify other devotees. He doesn't think that he's a devotee worthy of being glorified. So a devotee is not, he does not make propaganda about how great a soul he is, what wonderful things he's done. And he doesn't advertise, as Prabhupada said. So, but we like to advertise our accomplishments and our greatness. So we still have some way to go, because pure devotee, he doesn't have any desire for that. But he very much likes to glorify other devotees. Like Jayananda Prabhu, everyone says that as soon as anyone would glorify him, he wasn't very He didn't appreciate. But he very much liked to appreciate the service of other devotees, and he enjoyed glorifying them. So this is proper. This is Vaishnava mentality. So they decided to stay there until he left his body. Kalevaram Vihaya, till he gives up his body. And the spiritual world, there's no contamination, no lamentation, there's nothing to lament there. What is there to lament in the spiritual world? Everyone is in full bliss, full knowledge. There's no suffering, there's no old age. Here in the material world, there's a lot of things to lament. Someone is going down to hell, someone's taking the body of a worm. That's lamentable. Someone wasted his life. Any questions?
Speaking about being praised, isn't it in the Bhagavad Gita that one should be equal towards blame?
Praise and blame. Yes, equal. So he doesn't become disturbed. Yes, he doesn't let it disturb his service. That's important, because otherwise, if we want praise too much, then we'll be doing things which are improper to get the praise. Maybe cheating, lying, in order to keep the praise coming. Embezzling. Just like if someone in the material world, he's got his nice home, and so everyone comes to this home and says, "Oh, this is a beautiful home. How could you afford this?" He doesn't like to let on that basically he's about to lose it. He can't afford it anymore. So what does he do? He starts stealing, embezzling, you know, just to keep up the praise, because he doesn't want to lower the level. So yes, he should be not. Doesn't matter if someone praises me, fine. If they don't, that's okay. He's equal. Then he's not affected by. He will not engage in some activities which are things that he shouldn't perform. If he becomes too much attracted to getting praised, or he wants many followers, that's also praise. Because the followers, they praise. But one should not compromise just to get many followers. It's easy if you lower the standards, you can get many followers. But a guru should not do that. He should keep the standard proper for what is a disciple. Prabhupada wouldn't even initiate some famous people that might have agreed to become initiated. And it might have increased Prabhupada's praise, at least for the time being. But he didn't do that. He wasn't interested just in praise. He wanted to do the right thing. And by doing the right thing, sometimes you'll be praised and sometimes you'll be criticized. It doesn't matter. Do the right thing and don't worry about whether people praise you or criticize you. If you've done the right thing, then Krishna will be pleased with you. And that's all that matters. Krishna and the Guru. Guru and Krishna are pleased. It doesn't matter what others think. Arjuna had to face that. There were many things that he had to do which were not popular by social arrangement. Killing Grandfather Bhishma was socially the worst possible thing he could do, in one sense. What kind of gratitude is that? The person who raised you, protected your family for generations, and now you kill him. What kind of respect is that? Socially. But he had to do it because Krishna wanted it. He pleased Krishna by doing that.
People outside, they usually they put so much stress on this on the opinion of others. You know, the people
which are stress
on opinion of others.
Opinion of others, yes.
Opinion of others, and how is possible to how can these people get the knowledge that it is not so important what others think, but it is important what the authority thinks.
Yes, we have to change that. In other words, instead of caring what the ordinary people think, we care what the Vaishnavas think, what the Guru thinks. Yes, that becomes, that changes. Instead of caring what ordinary people think, now we care what Guru and Krishna think, and the Acharyas. Just change it. We have to care what people think. We have to care because we're social beings. We cannot just be alone all the time and not care about anyone else. No. It's like birds of a feather flock together. So we have to change ourselves from being crows to being swans. Instead of being a crow, and then we associate with crows, and we want to please the crows, so we do what they do. And one crow says, hey, let's go eat some vomit. And the other crow says, yeah, let's go. That's crows association. But the Vaishnavas, the swans, Paramahamsas, they say, let's go dive into the lotus feet of the Lord and enjoy some nectar there. And they say, yes, let's go there. So it's just a question of association.
This is a question from Netherlands in Europe. In this statement by Lord Chaitanya, he says, do not listen to mundane talk, discuss sadhya and sadhana. So what does sadhya mean there?
Sadhya means the ultimate goal of life, and sadhana means the method for attaining it. Yes, Ramananda Roy said, how to attain the supreme, what is the ultimate goal? The lotus feet of Krishna. How to attain it? By the process of bhakti yoga. So that is the method. Here.
I was just thinking of a very famous personality who became very influential in spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya, George Harrison, and how he had to consider coming out and presenting the message of Krishna consciousness through his music. Sticking his neck out, and his popularity was on the line, and he was very conscious of that, but he figured for the higher principle, he aligned himself with the devotees right in the public eye. So that's one example of he switched a person who was also in a very prominent position in society in terms of popularity.
Yes, Krishna will give us his causeless mercy if we choose to associate with the devotees and assist them, then everything will become auspicious for us. Everything changes. Just like if you have so many zeros, 0, 0, 0, 5 zeros, 10 zeros, it's still zero, but if you put a one in front, then it becomes a huge number. So one who has, he's basically a pauper, and he has nothing in his life, but if he becomes a devotee of Krishna by associating with the devotees, then everything, then he becomes the most wealthy person, becomes the most fortunate. Bhagyavan Jeev. Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So, all we have to do, sometimes I've mentioned this before, but sometimes people ask me if there's one thing, what's the most important thing to remember in Krishna consciousness? Right, Vibhishan? And I tell them, the most important advice I can tell you is always remain in the association of devotees. Because that takes care of everything. If you're with the devotees, naturally you're going to take prasadam, naturally you'll chant, naturally you'll attend aartis, naturally you'll study the books. But if you don't associate with devotees, then whatever little devotion you've got can very easily be drained by association with the non-devotees. And in no time, you'll be right back where you were. Punar Mushito Bhava. You know what that means, Bhakta Dustin? Punar Mushito Bhava. Means become again a mouse. You know that story? There was a mouse. He went to the sage, begged for benediction. There was a cat chasing him, so the sage said, "What do you want?" He said, "Please turn me into a cat." So he turned him into a cat, and he came back. He complained again. "What's wrong now? There's a dog. What do you want? Become a dog." "All right, become a dog." Then he came back again, tiger, so he got turned into a tiger. And then as a tiger, he was thinking, "Let me eat this sage, because the sage is food for a tiger." And the tiger said, "You want to eat me?" Or the sage said, "You want to eat me?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, become again a mouse." Made him a mouse again. So we can, by the grace of the guru, we can become a big tiger. We can become something extraordinary. But if we think, "I'll eat the guru, I'll replace him, I'll just move him aside, and then I'll take over," then we become a mouse again. That's what happens. And that we've seen that. Those who want to replace the spiritual master, they become mouse. Maybe they're big amongst a few other little smaller mice, but that's all.
Can the act of replacing the guru be more in a personal sense of wanting to take charge of one's own life, as opposed to the actual act of, like, in the, you know, Prabhupada sometimes gives the example of the Mayavadi who wants to actually kill his guru and take his position? Can we actually see it more as wanting, because in the guru-disciple relationship, the disciple gives the guru charge over his life, so can we say that to replace the guru is simply to want to take back control over one's own activities?
Well, if he misuses that control for sense gratification, then yes, that's the whole idea. He's removing the guru, removing Krishna from his life. But if he uses the independence to carry out the order, then that's very nice. Then there's no harm. Guru wants to see that the disciple has learned the lesson and he knows how to engage in devotional service. That's all. He doesn't care. He doesn't really even care so much what type of service. That's as long as it's pleasing to Krishna. Guru doesn't mind if the disciple paints the wall or distributes the books or cooks the prasadam. As long as it's pleasing, as long as it's giving pleasure to Krishna, Guru is satisfied.
Another question from the Netherlands. Who is Guru? A self-realized soul or just any teacher?
Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shay utmam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashamashayam. Guru is one who is presenting the science of the absolute truth. And he has realized it. He's heard it from higher spiritual authorities. Don't worry about him. That's Panchajanya's job, to keep people awake. Okay? Panchajanya will do it. So, he's heard the message and he's living it also. He's teaching by example. So in one sense, yes, every Vaishnava is a guru. That's a fact, because he's teaching the transcendental science and he's living it. So he's guru. Like when our book distributors, our preachers go out on the street, they're acting as guru. Because these poor people in the material world, they have no idea what the goal of life is. Sadhya or sadhana. They don't know what the goal is and they don't know how to reach it. So the devotee very kindly gives him Varma Pradarshaka Guru. Therefore, one who first shows the way is called Varma Pradarshaka Guru. Just like, you know, the story of Billa Mangal Thakur. He was a South Indian wealthy Brahmana. He was born in South India. This was in the 9th century. And from the Vishnu Swami sect. So he was, of course, married. He was an impersonalist. But he became, by that association, he became attracted to a prostitute. And so one day they were performing, it was just after the ceremony, the annual ceremony of Shraddha for the departed father. And he was telling the priest, you know, make haste, hurry. I have to go somewhere. But it was a terrible night. There was a big storm, thunder, rain. Still, somehow, he came to the river's edge. He wanted to go there. But the prostitute, she thought, probably he won't come tonight. But it's also, she was a devotee. She was some type of a devotee. But she thought, he won't come tonight. It's such a terrible night. So she bolted the door and locked the gate and everything. But somehow he used the corpse to help get across the river. And then when he reached her house, he thought it was a rope to get over the gate. So he pulled, but it was a snake. But anyway, somehow he arrived and knocked on her door. And Chintami said, "Oh, Billa Mangal, I didn't think you'd come tonight. If you have so much devotion just for the senses, for the skin, if you had so much devotion for Krishna, it would be good for you." She said that. And because when she said that, it registered. He realized, yes, you're right. And he left her. And he went to Vrindavan. He gave up everything. So she became his Varma Pradarshaka Guru. And he praised her in his works. He began his writings by saying, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Chintamani." And formerly, he had a former guru called Somagiri. So he offered first his obeisances to his... So she is a guru, even though she was... Her occupation was abominable, but she told him to go to Krishna. What to speak of one who is acting properly as a Vaishnava, then he's naturally a guru. Even someone who's not acting properly can still be a Varma Pradarshaka Guru.
I had heard you use the term sect in reference to Vishnu Swami, and I know Srila Prabhupada uses the same term, and I'm just wondering, because Srila Prabhupada says that this Krishna consciousness movement is non-sectarian, so what's the definition then of sect, and how would we see that Vishnu Swami is a sectarian group as opposed to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas being a non-sectarian group?
Actually, Vishnu Swami was not sectarian. He taught the same principles as Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Just for the sake of making some distinction, that particular line. But none of the Vaishnavas are actually sectarian. If he really has transcendental knowledge, how can he be sectarian? He knows that all living entities are in quality one with the Lord, and they're all servants of Krishna, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Bhrija. So that's just a conventional term used for distinguishing one group from another. But they're not sectarian. That's why people make a mistake when they think ISKCON's sectarian. So they think we need to make another institution which is for all Vaishnav groups. They think ISKCON is not that. But actually it is. That's just their misunderstanding. They think that Prabhupada was sectarian. He separated himself from Gaudiya Math, but actually he didn't. It's the same line. And those who are actually following Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they will appreciate that. Others who are sectarian themselves will think that Prabhupada was sectarian. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.